Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a great news story to share with you here. I'll get to that coming up after the break here. Montana Trooper Palmer and family awarded a new home. Hero Montana Highway Patrol Trooper Wade Palmer and his family were officially presented with a beautiful new smart home on Thursday by Tunnel to Towers. You guys have heard about the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. They just donated a new home to Montana Highway Patrol Trooper Wade Palmer. We'll talk about that story. Plus, we've got some audio thanks to our friend Peter Christian, who went down to Stevensville for the event. Very cool deal. Let's see, first though, this is a story we're going to talk about in more depth coming up here in the 8 o'clock hour of this show. Have you guys heard about First Lady Susan Gianforte, her initiative that she has been taking the lead on as First Lady? It's a really cool deal. So they've got this Dolly Parton reading program. It's called the Imagination Library. And so First Lady Susan Gianforte, the wife of Governor Greg Gianforte, this has been her First Lady initiative. And so she has been backing this effort to raise money and donate money to put books into the hands of every, you know, kid. I think it's up to 5 years old all across Montana. Over 26,000 Montana kids have already registered for Dolly Parton's Imagination Library program. And according to the governor's office, that is 44% of eligible Montana children. It's available to families in all 56 counties. Get this, the cost for books for the full year per child is only $31. That's like, what, $3 a month or something? You guys do the math. I went to journalism school, so do the math. Tell me if I got, but anyway, $31 for the whole year, you can get a book delivered to your kid every single month. How cool is that? But here's the point. These are wholesome books that get shipped to your kids thanks to a program supported by country music legend Dolly Parton and Montana First Lady Susan Gianforte. But the woke Montana Teachers Union, which is now under the umbrella of the Montana Federation of Public Employees, they are taking a much different approach. They are sending out these crazy woke left-wing propaganda books to your kids. The Freedom Foundation's Max Nelson has a new report that just came out. I've got it detailed here on our Montana Talks website. While Imagination Library gives away classics like Eric Carle's The Very Hungry Caterpillar, a new report by the Freedom Foundation documents how over the past year, the State Teachers Union, the MFPE, has gone out of its way to distribute children's books to public school libraries containing divisive racial content and LGBTQ plus themes, and generally seeking to enlist students in progressive activism. These people are nuts. I'm not just talking about the Montana Supreme Court. We're talking about the Montana Federation of Public Employees. Yeah, the same union that shuts down your union job if you work in the coal industry.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With mainly sunny skies across the area for today, high temperatures range from the lower 40s in Bozeman to the upper 40s in the Billings area. For tonight, skies stay clear to partly cloudy. Lows range from the mid to upper 20s. Then for Saturday, we can expect a mix of clouds and sun, with highs from the mid 40s to around 50 degrees to start off the weekend. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Securing America.
The need for the U.S. military to embrace new technology is constant. The deputy director of the Pentagon's Defense Innovation Unit, Aditi Kumar, recently spoke about that process during a conversation with the Hudson Institute. She says when discussing which new developments to explore, one principle comes first.
The most important thing we can do and are doing in that space is spotlighting the operational needs.
She acknowledges that sometimes her unit has to encourage a change in thought process. For example,
the department has historically bought software on the cheap. Right. And now what we're doing is saying this is actually an integral part of the solution.
Kumar also admits her department knows keeping America safe often means
that we're shining a light on the most urgent operational right. problems, and that we keep that focus steady.
Kevin Uresti, Fox News.
Here is a big reason why you need to download the Montana Talks app for your smartphone. So on Thursday's 9 o'clock hour, our statewide show, we had incoming Senate Majority Leader for the Montana State Senate, Tom McGilvery, on the program. 27 different proposals for judicial reform here in Montana. Fascinating insight from Senator McGilvery. If you missed it, with the Montana Talks app on your phone, you get all of the show audio in podcast format. You can also get it from Spotify.
Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man. I got to give a call to our buddy George Blackard and check in with George, see how he's doing, and tell old drill sergeant stories. You know, this would be a little fun here on this Freedom Friday. January 6th, you guys heard the latest news about January 6th, right? Remember that whole thing they told you? Oh, these are just conspiracy theories about, you know, confidential informants from the FBI being inside the Capitol on January 6th. It's just a conspiracy theory, as you were. We had this drill sergeant who... I'm sure everybody who went through some sort of basic training at a drill sergeant, he would start the cadence, and if he screwed up, like if he was out of step or if he messed up the cadence, he would just, you know, interrupt himself in the middle of the cadence, go, as you were. And so you'd be marching, you know, down through Fort Benning, Georgia, and he'd be doing the cadence, you know, a little kitty. Okay, as you were. This new story about January 6th is another. A conspiracy, as you were. The FBI had over a dozen confidential informants at the Capitol on January 6th. This new Inspector General report confirms. And yet look at the way Politico is trying to bury this story and make you think that the story says something other than what it actually is telling you it says. Okay, let's do this story, and then I'll get to the great good news Freedom Friday story about our Montana Highway Patrol trooper Wade Palmer and the home that his family has now received. Yeah, the FBI had over a dozen confidential informants at the Capitol on January 6th. More than a dozen FBI informants entered restricted areas in and around the Capitol on January 6th, 2021, according to a Department of Justice Inspector General report published on Thursday. The DOJ's oversight report that examined the FBI's intelligence collection efforts preceding January 6th found that the FBI had 26 informants in Washington, D.C. To report on, quote, domestic terrorism suspects to the Bureau. But if you guys remember, when the hearings were taking place and the FBI director was testifying on Capitol Hill, did you notice how he did not want to answer any questions about whether FBI operatives were in the Capitol, much less encouraging people to actually go into the Capitol, encouraging people to take part in January 6th? Let me go into it here. So Jesse Waters had a great segment last night. I listened to the whole segment here. And he went back to when the FBI director testified. This was the director, Ray, testified on Capitol Hill. And so one of the members of Congress was asking, are you acknowledging that there were undercover agents in the Capitol on January 6th? And he's like, no. There were no undercover agents on Capitol Hill. So then, as Jesse Waters points out, Congress had to ask the question a different way because the FBI director was doing what we call a technical lie. Oh, no, there were no undercover agents, because that's a very specific terminology. So they had to ask the question a different way.
Listen. Did you have confidential human sources dressed as Trump supporters inside the Capitol on January the 6th prior to the doors being opened?
Again, I had to be very careful.
It should be a no. Can you not tell the American people? No, we did not have confidential human sources dressed as Trump supporters positioned inside the Capitol.
The gentleman's time has expired.
You should not read anything into my decision not to share information.
Director Ray,
confidential
gentleman's
human
time.
Ray's right. The FBI didn't have undercover agents at January 6th. They had confidential human sources. So what's the difference? Well, a confidential human source doesn't get health insurance or a pension. They're just freelancing for the feds. Rats in MAGA hats. They're basically paid informants that the FBI runs at headquarters. A lot of these FBI rats get picked up on some other charge. They get sat down and the FBI says, you're going to work for me now. And if you don't, you're looking at 20 years to life. So these guys say, yes, sir. And they cozy up to people like the Proud Boys and anyone the feds wants to watch and control from the inside. And these confidential human sources are under pressure to deliver. What does deliver mean? It means intelligence and big busts that get the FBI good headlines. According to the Inspector General report, the spies were feeding the FBI intel that said January 6th was going to get a little hairy. But FBI headquarters did nothing about it and then lied to Congress and said they did. So why did headquarters let January 6th get so out of hand? And what were all these FBI spies doing that day and the days before? Were they riling everyone up like they did in the Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping plot? In that case, the FBI informants instigated the plot. They even used an FBI credit card to buy the ammo, supplies, and hotel rooms. Did the FBI pay for Jan 6 hotel rooms? We don't know. Remember, the media and the Democrats said this whole thing was a conspiracy.
Yep, another conspiracy theory, as you were, the new Inspector General report has come out. Now, constitutional law professor Jonathan Turley raised a really good question here. So the FBI was trying to come out and say, well, yeah, we had some informants who were there, but they weren't there acting on our behalf. Okay, so then why weren't they charged? Why weren't they prosecuted? While 1,500 other people were arrested, why weren't they? If they weren't there working on your behalf, then why did they get let off the hook?
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The good news is that growth in the Montana economy appears to have stabilized after a huge boom in 2021 that took things like tax collections to stratospheric heights. Growth statewide has fallen for two consecutive years. That appears to have ended in 24 with a modest uptick in growth in both employment and income. It appears to have been a good visitor year for Montana, which has helped to offset some of the setbacks in industries like coal and wood products. Growth was strong in healthcare, finally rebounding after a tough post-COVID period, and also in government. Interest rate-sensitive sectors, especially residential construction, fared worse. But a closer look reveals the lumpiness of growth. The tech centers, Missoula, Flathead, and especially Gallatin counties, had strong growth. The other urban areas, much less so. And if you subtract out the seven largest counties in the state, you don't see any growth at all. I'm Patrick Barkey.
brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. This year's annual defense policy bill would give America's lowest-ranking military personnel one of the largest raises in U.S. history. The plan would authorize a 14.5% raise for the lowest-ranking enlisted personnel. That ranges from improving the quantity and quality of housing to augmenting child care for military families. But it could also create a problem for the Pentagon if Congress does not intervene this month. The Defense Department will almost certainly be operating for the first few months of the year on another stopgap spending plan. That's unless the measure contains additional billions from military pay increases. High inflation has made life harder in recent years for junior enlisted personnel in the U.S. military. Thousands have reported trouble adequately feeding themselves and their families. The armed forces have also faced recruiting challenges that are made more difficult if military pay is not considered to be competitive. The Military Officers Association of America says the boost in junior enlisted pay is the largest targeted military pay increase in a quarter century. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
Continuing on with a series of clips from my video podcast with agricultural meteorologist Brian Bledsoe here today. And during our conversation, he highlighted a few key things farmers and ranchers should be preparing for during the winter of 2025.
I think we need to be prepared, and this is especially true for Montana. The thing that has been most notable for the past, say, 4 weeks has been the building of the snowpack in Siberia and in Canada. Those areas are covered up right now. That is a very significant source for Arctic and cold air as we get deeper in the winter. So there have been times in past years where that hasn't been the case so far. So that indication alone tells me you better prepare for some cold, and some of that cold is going to be significant cold, and you better prepare for some snow. So if you're going to start calving in January and you live in the northern plains and the northern Rockies, you better be prepared for weather that you did not see last year. Yes.
Of course, yesterday, Bledsoe shared that La Nina not really playing an impact much on winter weather, but that snowpack and cold weather in Canada, the Arctic, and in Siberia, that could play a big factor lasting from now all the way in to April, early March. It might not be a fun calving season. We'll see. I'm Lane Nordland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we've got photos and a full report on our Montana Talks website right now. Hero Montana Highway Patrol Trooper Wade Palmer and his family were officially presented with a beautiful new smart home on Thursday by the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The new home in Stevensville, Montana is an ADA compliant smart home and was delivered mortgage-free to Palmer, his wife, and their two daughters. Over 100 well-wishers gathered to honor Palmer and his wife, Lindsay, including John Carroll, the retired FDNY battalion chief. In fact, here is audio from that retired New York or FDNY battalion chief John Carroll talking about getting a chance to meet Trooper Palmer and his family.
Wade and Lindsay, great family. I met them last night for the first time. They are true Americans, very patriotic. Wade served this country and served Missoula and Stevensville, and he's been part of this great state of Montana doing what first responders do, protecting the people, and I'm proud and honored to have met him.
Yeah, several others were on hand to celebrate this new home for the Palmer family, according to former Attorney General Tim Fox, retired Highway Patrol Chief Kurt Sager, and a host of others at the Stevensville home. Here is our friend Peter Christian, and thanks to Peter Christian for sharing this audio with us. Here's our friend Peter Christian chatting with the local sheriff there in Stevensville at the event.
Talking with Sheriff Jeremiah Peterson, and Sheriff, first of all, this is an exciting day that followed a dreadful tragedy several years ago, and now something wonderful is happening today.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Wade is a true hero, and it's just amazing that this organization has come together to help him and his family out because of the sacrifice that he made for, you know, the citizens of Missoula County and the citizens of the state of Montana.
I know that you were a part of the Sheriff's Department several years ago when this occurred, when this incident occurred. What are your personal memories of those several days after that terrible incident?
Well, just the way that the sense of community, you know, within law enforcement, how everyone came together. You know, they helped out Wade's family in a number of ways. And, you know, just that law enforcement community is very close and tight-knit. And not only that, they worked tirelessly to, you know, investigate and hold that suspect accountable for the actions, you know, that he took on that dreadful day.
And I will tell you, I was through, went through the entire trial, all the testimony, and I understand four life terms and no possibility of parole.
Yeah, he's being held accountable for his actions. You know, he took a couple lives, and he certainly changed Wade's and Wade's family's life forever. And so he needs to be held accountable for that, and he's in the place he should be in, Montana State Prison.
Sheriff, thank you so much. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right, yeah, and thanks to Peter Christian for sharing that audio with us. Tim Fox was Attorney General at the time that Trooper Palmer was wounded and traveled with him down to Utah at the hospital in Salt Lake City. In fact, I remember chatting with Attorney General Tim Fox at the time on the radio, and just the outpouring of support for Trooper Palmer and his family. And in fact, AG Tim Fox, in remarks at that ceremony in Stevensville yesterday, talked about those difficult days at the University of Utah Hospital in Salt Lake City, where everybody huddled together, prayed, and welcomed the support of law enforcement officers and their families and first responders and many others from all over the country. Talked about just how overwhelming it was, just the show of support that came out for Trooper Palmer across the board. Following the ceremony, Wade and Lindsay Palmer toured their new mortgage-free home, for which Lindsay thanked all who attended the celebration. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation provides mortgage-free homes to Gold Star and other injured veterans and first responders. One more piece of audio that I want to share with you here. Kurt Sager, former head of the Montana Highway Patrol, talked about how Trooper Palmer not only received the Medal of Honor, the highest award from the Montana Highway Patrol, not just once, but twice. He also talked about that fateful night when Trooper Palmer had pursued that murder suspect, and talked about his second Medal of Honor that he earned back in 2019. So we'll share that audio with you here coming up right after the Fox News update. And again, big thanks to Peter Christian for sharing this story on our Montana Talks website and for sharing the audio with us. Peter had messaged me the other night and said, hey, I think Tunnel to Towers is doing an event down in Stevensville. And so we helped to track down the details on that event and more. Just Peter is one of the best in the business. I think he's been in broadcasting now for 50 plus years, if I'm not mistaken. Just does an incredible job on our sister station, KGVO, in Missoula. Okay, yeah, the audio coming up from the former head of the Montana Highway Patrol talking about Trooper Palmer, the audio from his speech at the ceremony, as I understand it, here in 60. The audio might be a little bit hard to hear, but I think you can hear it good enough. It's an important message to hear, especially on this Freedom Friday. What a great story here. Tunnel to Towers donating a home to the family of Montana Highway Patrol Trooper Wade Palmer. Here you go, Kurt Sager.
Good afternoon. My name is Kurt Sager. I'm the Colonel of the Montana Highway Patrol. I'm honored by the invitation to be here today with Wade and the Palmer family. Wade served the people of Montana for 8 years with the Montana Highway Patrol. During those 8 years, Wade served with distinction, earning the highest award Montana Highway Patrol gives, the Medal of Valor. Not once, but twice. The first Medal of Valor was given for his 2014 heroic actions when he rescued a female motorist who was thrown from her vehicle and was lying in the median. Multiple vehicles were losing control at the crash scene, and one of the vehicles was headed directly towards the female. Without hesitation, Trooper Palmer rushed to her aid and was able to pull her to safety before she was hit by a vehicle. His second Medal of Valor was earned in 2019
when Trooper Palmer located the suspect who earlier that evening had shot and killed two citizens and seriously injured another. During this encounter, Trooper Palmer was shot multiple times. In both circumstances, despite the danger to himself, Trooper Palmer placed himself in harm's way to protect innocent citizens. Way to tell you he was just doing his job. But that kind of courage is only displayed by people of the highest character. Wade is a man of the highest character. Wade is a hero. Although he is no longer a trooper, Wade will always be family, and he will always be a hero. The Department of Justice and the Montana Highway Patrol are proud of Wade and honored to express that here today. Montana is a state that supports its law enforcement officers. You can see that here today. I'm humbled by the support our agency in general and the Palmer family specifically has received from the public during his journey to recovery. We're blessed to live in a state like Montana. We're also blessed to have Tunnelstone Towers. Tunnelstone Towers is an organization that's committed to honoring the sacrifices of America's heroes. Heroes like Wade Palmer. Today, Wade and his family are the recipients of a home designed and built to meet Wade's needs. On the behalf of the Montana Highway Patrol, thank you, Tunnelstone Towers. Thank you, Montana. Thank you to everybody that's here for having Wade's back. Wade, Lindsay, Maya, and Sierra, welcome home.
Wow, what a message there. What a donation from Tunnel to Towers. Yeah, absolutely incredible. Great message here on this Freedom Friday. All right, quick break coming up here on the show. We got a big guest coming up, I think, right after this, I think. So stand by. And then in the 8 o'clock hour of the show, Dolly Parton versus the Montana Teachers Union. Wait till you hear some of the details out of this new report from the Freedom Foundation. Max Nelson back with us in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. And then we'll talk beef and more in the 9 o'clock hour today. In Montana.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, let's jump right into it. Great to have United States Senator-elect Tim Sheehy back with us here on Montana Talks. Tim, first off, Merry Christmas to you and yours. I know you've been back and forth a lot. Man, what's it been like the past couple of weeks back in Washington since we last caught up with you?
We got a lot of work to do, as you know, and I just got back from a whirlwind trip, Middle East, and then D.C. yesterday. I was actually next to your wife on the plane from Denver here to Montana, so good to see her. But we got a lot of work to do, and D.C., you can feel, though, the energy there. I mean, us out in the House, the Senate, the White House, everyone's ready to just roll their sleeves up on January 3rd and get to work. So it's again, a daunting task to get this nation back on track, but we've got all the pieces on the board to do the right thing.
Yeah, that was great. I got a text from my wife yesterday morning. She said, "Hey, I'm sitting on the plane next to Tim Sheehy here." So she felt bad for not calling you senator, but she didn't want everybody bugging you. So you're still low profile enough to where you can walk through the airports without being bugged by everybody, I'm assuming, huh?
Well, here in Montana, not quite the case. I think people have seen enough shady Huey commercials that everyone knows who I am here. But in other airports, you're right, I can still be a little bit anonymous.
Hey, by the way, on that front, before we jump into talking about your trip to Israel, I know you got to go see, you know, one of the kibbutzes that was just devastated by these terrorist attacks on October 7th. In the October 7th terrorist attacks. But before we get to that, you know, you were talking about how, yeah, back here in Montana, we were so inundated with campaign commercials over the course of the election that, yeah, you can't really go anywhere without people knowing who you are. Would you be okay sharing the story? I thought this was such a cool story because, you know, all we hear are oftentimes in the news are negative stories about college campuses and young people sometimes. You shared a story at the Montana Family Foundation banquet a couple of days after the election. You had to go up to the MSU campus in Bozeman for something, and you had all the kids with you that day because your wife had, you know, important meeting or something like that. So here you are, you're taking all your kids across this college campus, and I'm sure that the security side of your Navy SEAL background had to be thinking, oh man, I'm bringing my kids across a college campus. But you shared what a great experience that actually ended up being.
Well, thank you for bringing that up, because I think it is important for us to realize, you know, we see the headlines all the time, and sometimes, you know, the headlines just aren't the truth. So, yeah, so my wife is very involved in the Special Olympics. You know, some folks may know she has two brothers with Down syndrome. So we are very involved in the Special Olympics world and in just the special needs world, you know, by and large. And she had one of her Special Olympics board meetings that day up in Helena. So we, I had all four kids with me, and it was 2 days after the election when I was going to the MSU campus to speak to a group there. And we had a parking. Of course, parking was a nightmare. So we parked on the other side of the campus, and I told the kids, hey, we got to walk through the whole campus to get to our meeting. We had to go through the cafeteria, and I said, you know, it's probably going to be a lot of young kids here saying nasty things, so let's just you know, stay close to Dad, and we'll get there as quick as we can. And so we started to walk through campus, and I'll tell you, Aaron, I was truly shocked, and it was shocked in a good way. I didn't get one single negative comment of probably 1,000 kids we walked by and through. It was high fives. It was folks wanting selfies. There was folks shouting across the cafeteria, you know, congratulations, you know, cheers. You know, people coming up wanting selfies, congratulating us for winning the race, and got a lot of comments saying, hey, we really respect how you ran the race, you know, the fact that you focused on issues and focused on what you want to do for this country. So, you know, we got to the other side. My kids said, Dad, everyone likes you here. I said, you know what, guys, they do, and that's fantastic. Let's be proud of that. So you're absolutely right. It was sometimes what we hear on the news and the feelings we get through a lot of the online rhetoric just don't reflect what's really going on out there. And, of course, we saw that in the election results. You know, we were told, you know, Kamala was going to win and we were going to get pounded. And the reality was we came out ahead in all fronts, and it's a new day in America.
Yeah, you know, and I wonder if there's something to it, too, that these kids who went through the COVID craziness and went through the last 4 years of craziness, because, about 3.5 hours after you gave your victory speech at the Armory Hotel in downtown Bozeman, the on election night or the day after morning, I was at the Rock and R doing our radio show, and a couple of the bartenders there were telling me, hey, Aaron, I'm telling you, these young people today, they are pro-Trump, they are pro-America first, and these kids are on fire. And then when you shared that story at the Montana Family Foundation banquet, I was like, yeah, this is it's pretty interesting. How was your trip to Israel? Had to be pretty powerful. This was your first overseas trip after being elected. Actually, our good friend Rabbi Chaim Bruck was the one who told me that he was chatting with you and you were going to be heading to Israel.
It was very important for me to be there. Obviously, we're going to be very busy come January. You know, we got a lot of work to do getting the cabinet in place and getting common sense pro-America policies passed. So I knew that, you know, I've been elected to serve the people of Montana and get this country back on track, and therefore I'm going to be strapped in the seat in D.C. for the first 6, 8, 12 months just getting this administration in place. So I knew I was not going to have a lot of free time to do anything other than just head down, focus on legislation and get things done. So, you know, in the precious few weeks we had between election, you know, and me getting my businesses sorted out and getting everything transitioned, hiring a staff, I was adamant that I carved out a few days to get to Israel. Number one, it was important for me to get an update on what's going on over there. You know, obviously you and I spent many years in the Middle East, all over the region, been to Israel before. But, you know, as we saw while you're there, if you haven't been to the Middle East lately, you haven't been to the Middle East. You know, things change fast. While I was there, I went to bed one night, Syria is a country, woke up the next morning, it's not a country. So, you know, twofold, part going there to make sure I have the latest update. You can read briefings, you can watch the news, but nothing will ever replace ground truth in any situation, just like our campaign. You know, we didn't run a digital TV campaign. I went everywhere in the state, and when you're physically there, immersed in the situation, you're going to understand it better. So that was number one, make sure I have the latest understanding of what's going on, so I could be effective back home to support America First policies. But it was also very important for me to show the people and the leadership in Israel and Jews back home that I've got their back, that the American government is going to support them through this terrible tragedy, and make sure that you know, from Prime Minister Netanyahu, I had the privilege to meet through the Speaker of the Knesset and the leaders of the IDF, that you'll have a friend in Washington who's got your back, despite the news you read again that, you know, people in America are marching in the streets against you and advocating for this disgusting, you know, jihad that's going on. You do have people high in place in the American government who've got your back, who have moral clarity about this struggle, and will be there to support them. So it was important to do that. It was a very powerful trip, and you know, we're lucky to have allies like them. And, of course, they're lucky to have folks like us in America who will support them all the way.
Of course, you won't be sworn in until about the first week of January. And so right now we're in the middle of the lame duck Senate, the lame duck Congress. But you've been back already. You've already getting an office up and running. You've been meeting with President Trump's nominees. You came out unequivocally in support of Tulsi Gabbard and Pete Hegseth to be the Secretary of Defense. It's been kind of, I've been really glad to see that some of these squishy Republicans in the Senate who looked like they were going to try to undermine some of President Trump's nominees, I think they very quickly heard from MAGA world, and now they're on board as well. But yeah, talk about your support for President Trump's nominees and hopefully how some of these squishy senators will be backing President Trump's nominees as well, because we don't have time to mess around.
You're exactly right. You know, time is the most valuable resource in anything. You know, we're going to have hopefully 4 or 6 years, but, you know, we're going to have 2 years here where we run the table in D.C. We got to make sure every single day, you know, we're in the ground. We got 200 legislative days to get things done, really, and we got to make sure everyone's useful, and that means we have to get a cabinet in place. And, you know, my trip to Israel was not delinked from some of these nominees, at least Stefanik, who, of course, will be a U.N. ambassador. The U.N., through UNRWA, and so many others, the international organizations, are literally every day fueling and funding these terrorist organizations that are murdering Israelis and, frankly, Americans as well. So her clarity about when she gets to the UN, ensuring that the UN stops being a money laundering organization and a proxy for Iran, China, and Russia. You know, Pete Hegseth, who's going to be a great reform candidate for the DOD, who's going through the same type of smear assassination that they went through with me. You know, this is the playbook now for the Democrats, from Clarence Thomas to Brett Kavanaugh to Pete Hegseth to me. You know, if you're someone who's coming in and threatens their status quo, you know, they're going to go after you in the most disgusting personal attacks possible. And, of course, that's what they're doing to him. So why don't we come out clearly and let him know and the people know that I've got his back. Tulsi Gabbard, I've known her for years. She was, of course, here in Montana with us throughout the last year, supporting my campaign. You know, former Democrat, of course, former vice chair of the DNC. I mean, presidential candidate for the Democrats. I mean, here's somebody who you know, was a model of the future of the Democrat Party, was so scorned by them and smeared by them that, of course, now she's hopefully going to be our next cabinet member for intelligence for Trump. So, you know, these folks are good people who are responding to the mandate America gave us, which is we need to fix our government. Our government is not serving the people. Our people do not have confidence in the ability of our government to apply common sense to really any situation, from the border to economy and inflation and foreign policy. I mean, time and again, we're seeing that things you hand are, you don't want a problem to get worse, you give it to the federal government. And these people reflect a really disruption of that model. So, you know what, we're going to make the business of the American government work for the American people again. We're going to put the American people first. We're going to put American business first. We're going to put American borders first. And that's what these individuals reflect. So I'm supporting them 100%.
All right, Senator-elect Tim Sheehy, I got to take a hard break here. I understand if you got to run, but if you want to stick around, stand by. We'll come back to you after the break, because I know there's lots to talk about, including wildfire prevention efforts as well.
This is the energy of electrification. Available Type S high performance variant, nearly 500 horsepower and 278-mile EPA range rating. Choose from our complimentary charging packages so you can charge how you want. The all-electric Acura ZDX. This is the energy of innovation. Acura, precision crafted performance. Count down to the new year in the all-electric Acura ZDX with $0 first month payment and $1 due at signing.
Fox News commentary.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is scolding American voters for failing to elect a female president. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is becoming increasingly unpopular with his own constituents, partly for his horrible governance and partly because of his worship of woke. He's learned nothing because he's at it again. This time, he's scolding American voters for failing to elect our first female president, Kamala Harris. In a speech at the Ottawa Gala for Equal Voice, Trudeau lamented the United States for choosing to pass over a female candidate for a second time and assured the group that he is and always will be a feminist. First of all, Justin, we here in the USA do not give one crap what you think about our electoral choices. Second, it's weird Justin didn't have the guts to insult American voters or our president-elect Donald Trump while dining with him at Mar-a-Lago when he flew down to beg for tariff freebies. He keeps this up, he might not even get to be the governor of our 51st state of Canada. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With mainly sunny skies across the area for today, high temperatures range from the lower 40s in Bozeman to the upper 40s in the Billings area. For tonight, skies stay clear to partly cloudy. Lows range from the mid to upper 20s. Then for Saturday, we can expect a mix of clouds and sun with highs from the mid 40s to around 50 degrees to start off the weekend. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Here is a big reason why you need to download the Montana Talks app for your smartphone. So on Thursday's 9 o'clock hour, our statewide show, we had incoming Senate Majority Leader for the Montana State Senate, Tom McGilvery, on the program. 27 different proposals for judicial reform here in Montana. Fascinating insight from Senator McGilvery. If you missed it, with the Montana Talks app on your phone, you get all...
YLIFEMD.com. Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Thankfully, Senator-elect Tim Sheehy able to stick around with us for a few more minutes here as he's back home in Montana here after a trip to Israel and spending more time meeting with President Trump's nominees and more in Washington, D.C. Adam Schiff, we all have our opinions on Adam Schiff, but like it or not, he is a United States senator from California. So, yeah, at some point, you're still going to have to work together on some things. Senator-elect Sheehy, I saw that you're actually going to be teaming up with Adam Schiff and a couple of other senators on wildfire prevention policy. And because oddly enough, that's one topic that even California Democrats and Montana Republicans can find some common ground on. Tell us a little bit about what you're working on there.
I got you the right, Aaron. We got to find ways to work together at times. You know, at the end of the day, it's not about compromise, but it is about common sense. And we don't have to compromise our values. When we're working across the aisle, we can still have strident beliefs about what's right for this country, what our values are, and never compromise on that. But there are common sense things that we can, come together on and get things done. And one of those is wildfire. You know, I use an example that the state of Washington has had a very aggressive wildfire program after some devastating fires there. And the state of Texas is now doing the same thing after the terrible fires there, the Smokehouse Creek fire in February this year. And the state of Texas and the state of Washington are cooperating on sharing knowledge about how, as a state government, they can fight fires better because the federal government has failed us. And I think the state of Washington and the state of Texas might even have like a travel embargo. They don't even like talk to each other. You know, they don't agree on anything, but they're both saying, you know what, we don't want our farms and ranches and our towns burned to the ground when the federal government doesn't answer the call. So we're going to figure this out. So, you know, Adam Schiff and I, he was just recently elected, as well as Andy Kim from New Jersey. And we were talking during Senate orientation a few weeks ago. Andy Kim, folks may not realize there was a huge fire burning in the state of New Jersey, something they are not used to dealing with. They don't have the resources to fight it. And it was a devastating fire. And they were seeing, you know, thousands of acres in New Jersey devastated. And he was lamenting to us about how frustrating it was. They weren't getting air support and other necessary tools. And, of course, Schiff was standing there, too, from California, said, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And people, of course, have seen the headlines about the Malibu fire. And we all got to talking, and, of course, wildfire is my bailiwick. And then we said, listen, this is a nationwide issue, guys. You know, we see it in the headlines, and the fire's over, and people forget about it. But you know, the American people across the board from coast to coast are really tired of seeing hundreds of people killed, seeing towns burned to the ground, seeing wrong-headed policy about forestry. We can't cut trees down anymore because the environmental lobby has shut down logging. It's increasing our fuel loads. And, you know, we need to find a way to do this better for the American people. So it's something I think we can find, maybe one of the only bipartisan issues that everyone can agree on the Hill right now, which is we have to find a way to better respond to and protect our communities from wildfire.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, I know we've only got about a minute and a half or so to go here. I'd love to get, speaking of New Jersey, I'd love to get your take on these drones in New Jersey that the Biden administration is downplaying here. But also, you know, more of your thoughts on President Trump's nominees. There was a great quote from Ryan Zinke in Politico about how President Trump, he's like the 436th member of the House of Representatives because he is just hammering Congress on every issue. He's that engaged, that involved.
Well, he is. The administration recognizes that, again, they're limited in what they can do in the White House if they don't have congressional support. And I think one of the beauties we're seeing about a second Trump administration here with a gap in between is they've had time to really internalize the lessons of the first term and now action those in a very specific way. And one of those is front-run Congress. Make sure the Senate and the House are where they need to be before you start pushing issues so that when it's time to take action from the White House, you've got the formation, you've got the troops in formation on the Hill to make sure that they can move in parallel with the administration to get things done. Because executive orders are great. They can get a few things done, but guess what? To ensure that we have enduring legislation, you need Congress. And we still have with the border. You know, President Trump secured the border first term through executive action. Great. We love it. But guess what? Biden came in on, did all of it day one, and now we are all feeling the terrible impacts of that. So follow up executive action with legislation so that it is law. It's law of the land.
That's right. It's like President Trump is conducting operational preparation of the environment here, isn't it? The way he's shaping Congress.
That's right. All right.
Senator-elect Tim Sheehy, always a pleasure.
Montana Economic Minute.
The good news is that growth in the Montana economy appears to have stabilized. After a huge boom in 2021 that took things like tax collections to stratospheric heights, growth statewide has fallen for two consecutive years. That appears to have ended in 24 with a modest uptick in growth in both employment and income. It appears to have been a good visitor year for Montana, which has helped to offset some of the setbacks in industries like coal and wood products. Growth was strong in healthcare, finally rebounding after a tough post-COVID period, and also in government. Interest-rate-sensitive sectors, especially residential construction, fared worse. But a closer look reveals the lumpiness of growth. The tech centers, Missoula, Flathead, and especially Gallatin counties, had strong growth. The other urban areas, much less so. And if you subtract out the seven largest counties in the state, you don't see any growth at all. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.